Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 4th September 2014 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us offer our most reverential and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us and guide us so that we may never falter as we walk on the path laid down by you, so that we march ahead with determination, dedication and devotion towards the goal of attaining you and you alone. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today is dedicated to adoring our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Ganesha. This bhajan is in Sanskrit and the first line goes like this.
Mangala Charana Gajanana.
So that is the bhajan we will be learning today, and let's begin by becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, and then as always we'll move on to the raga, the beat, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's university who had the chance to sing in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan all through his student years for 5 years, and even now after he graduated from Bhagwan's university in 1999, he continues to sing in Sundaram, Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, as well as in Prashanti whenever he is here in this divine abode. So here are the lyrics.
Mangala Charana Gajanana Gajavadana Shubhanana Mangala Charana Gajanana Vidya Dayaka Buddhi Pradayaka Gauri Tanaya Gajanana.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow Ravi Kumar after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh. It will help you to get a good idea of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F Pancham. Mangala Charana Gajanana.
Mangala Charana Gajanana.
Mangala Charana Gajanana.
Mangala Charana Gajanana.
Gajavadana Shubhanana.
Gajavadana Shubhanana.
Gajavadana Shubhanana.
Gajavadana Shubhanana.
Mangala Charana Gajanana.
Mangala Charana Gajanana.
Vidyadayaka Buddhi Pradayaka.
Vidyadayaka Buddhi Pradayaka.
Vidyadayaka Buddhi Pradayaka.
Vidyadayaka బుద్ధి ప్రదాయక
గౌరీ తనయా గజానన
గౌరీ తనయా గజానన
గౌరీ తనయా గజానన
గౌరీ తనయా గజానన
మంగళ చరణ గజానన
So that is the beautiful tune of this auspicious bhajan adoring Lord Ganesha, and you heard in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And for those of us who are keen students of music, who wants to unravel what is behind this bhajan, what is behind this lovely composition, Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on what is the backbone of this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
If you ask me the backbone of this bhajan, of course it is Swami's idea through the composer, and it is like it's a wonderful tune, very short and sweet bhajan.
Yes.
Adoring Lord Ganesha, and very pleasant, and you know.
Really.
Yeah. So if you ask me like which raga it belongs to, actually I don't know exactly which raga it belongs to. At the first time when you hear the bhajan, it may sound like Kalyani, which is Yaman, and then the other ma is also coming. Like in Kalyani you have the Tivra ma.
Yes.
Sarigama padani sanidabama garisa.
But whereas in this bhajan,
maga buddhi pradayaka.
So there is one catch over there. So it is not Kalyani. So we'll see what other ragas are there when you add a normal madhyamam to the Kalyani. So when you search those ragas, there are plenty of ragas actually. There is a raga Yaman Kalyani, Yamuna Kalyani, Hamir Kalyani. So I don't know exactly like this bhajan belongs to one of those ragas, but I can say that when we write the swaras for each line, the flow in which the notes are composed for this tune, especially the bhajan, so it may largely based on like Yamuna Kalyani, for suppose.
Okay.
You have
Sa re ga pa ma ga pa da ni sa sa ni da pa ma pa ga ma ga re sa.
So if you take this raga, like you have the
sa ni da pa ma pa ga ma ga.
So that is a beautiful play of Tivra Madhyamam and the other Madhyamam. Whereas in Kalyani, if you take
Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni Sa Sa Ni Da Ba Ma Ga Re Sa,
it is purely based on the Tivra Ma and other notes. Like you have in this family of Kalyani ragas, like you have
Sa Re Re Shud Ga Ga is
Shud Ga,
Pa Ma
Ma is Tivra Ma,
Ga Pa Da Ni Dha
Dha is Shud,
Ni
Ni is also Shud,
Sa Ni Da Pa Ma Pa Ga Ma Ga.
That yes. adds to the beauty.
Beauty.
Subtle beauty it is.
Absolutely.
So
Ga Ma Ga.
So that is the other Madhyamam, which is not the Tivra Madhyamam. And like you have many ragas just by changing the flow in the Arohana and Avarohana.
Sa Re Sa Pa Ma Pa Da Ni Sa.
So this is one more raga. Like you have, basically ragas are very diverse in
yes.
different permutations and combinations of the seven notes which God has just given
absolutely.
To the world.
I mean, the notes can be same, but just the way how you treat the
exactly.
notes
yeah, exactly.
will create a new raga. Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So this you're saying is largely based on Yamuna Kalyani.
I think so. It may like largely based on Yamuna Kalyani, but that's what I don't know. Like whether if you go strictly the line by line, the swara by swara, like how it travels, Then some places or other, it may, that's what it's a bhajan composing is like what Swami gives a tune.
Yes.
So, and
the composer does not think, okay, let me compose in this raga.
May not think. Yeah.
May not think. Yeah. Yeah.
So, sometimes the composer thinks, okay, let me do one beautiful Kalyani bhajan.
Yes.
And it, yeah, it all depends on
the composer and what inspiration comes at
exactly
that point in time.
Yeah.
So, would you like to demonstrate for our listeners
how
this raga
flows? I have not learned the raga. I'll just try to do a little bit of it.
Sure.
Kalyani.
Na, na, na.
So I was showing the Kalyani part of it, and just by adding one normal madhyamam, not the tivra madhyamam, the feel it gives a different flavor to the, like baro, when I just sang the baro in the Yamuna Kalyani, it gives a totally different flavor, as well as the Kalyani bass is there because the tivrama and ni,
yes,
notes are
amazing. And I think once we take the bhajan and take the swaras for every line, probably,
yeah,
we'll be able to see those,
yeah,
places where there are both the mas.
In this bhajan especially, we don't have often the play of both the mas, but since both the mas come into picture, so we have to filter it out to, like, maybe it is Kalyani based. Oh, okay, if we add the other madhyama to the Kalyani, then what all ragas are there? So that's why this bhajan is in that category of the family of the Kalyanis, like, yes, Hamir Kalyani or Yamuna Kalyani. Yeah.
Okay. So shall we do the swaras for every line?
Yeah, we shall do that. First line.
Mangala Charana Gajanana Sagare Nisadapa Papadani Sanisa
Sagare Nisadapa Papadani Sanisa
Gajavadana Shubhanana Sasari Rega Gadapamari Gapagarisa
Sasari Rega Gadapamari Gapagarisa.
Again we come back to the first line.
Sagare ni sadapa papada ni sanisa vidyadayaka buddhi pradayaka samaga papapa papapa pare maga
samaga papapa
Gauri tanaya gajanana Ganida madapapare rega pare garisa
Ganida madapapare rega pare garisa.
In the second time we have a small variation which fills the Kalyani part of it.
Gauri tanaya gajanana Ganida madapapare nirigama magaresa
Ganida madapapare nirigama magaresa.
So Aniruddha, I guess there are many similar bhajans in this raga.
Yeah, there are some bhajans which has like both the madhyamams and the flavor of the same raga. And one of them is
Ramakrishna Govinda Narayana Keshava.
It's also a beautiful bhajan.
Yes.
Hare Rama Hare Krishna Ma.
Yes.
Ma Ga.
And also you have like
Anandamaya Bhagavan.
Actually it is more Kalyani based, Yaman based, but you have the play of both the maas, like
Anandamaya Maganizare He Premamaya Bhagavan Shiva Shambho Shambho.
It's also a bhajan where, so it's like the composition is such a way that, you know, the flow of the notes may take from that raga. May not be exactly in the same raga as the raga tells the flow has to be like this in the Arohana and
the
Avarohana.
The notes are based on one raga, yeah. But the flow has a little more flexibility.
Yeah, exactly.
So shall we move on to the beat?
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is Aditalam, 8 beat. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Mangala Charana Gajanana
Mangala Charana Gajanana.
Okay, I think that was beautiful. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So we are now become familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of this bhajan. Let's move on to understanding the inner feeling with which this bhajan should be sung so that we can offer it with heartfelt devotion to our beloved Bhagwan. And for this, we need to know the meaning of all the words in the bhajan, at least to a certain extent. So let's begin with the first line.
Mangala Charana Gajanana.
The first word here is Mangala, meaning auspicious. Second word is Charana, that is feet. Gajanana is the third word, which can be split into Gaja and Anana. Gaja means elephant, Anana means face. Bhagwan once explained that Lord Ganesha is the presiding deity for all auspicious functions, and he added that he can make even inauspicious functions auspicious. And he is the one who is always engaged in showering boons on all. What is the inner meaning of the elephant face of Lord Ganesha? Baba explains, the elephant is proverbially the most intelligent among the mammals, and it is vegetarian, indicating its sattvic or its pure nature.
The elephant head indicates the intelligence through which obstacles in the path of achievement, whether secular or spiritual, can be overcome. Bhagwan also says that elephant head indicates qualities of leadership. An elephant in the jungle symbolizes might and magnitude because it creates its own path and also shows others the way. It is not only very intelligent but is also known for its loyalty and gratitude. Baba always says that intelligence without gratitude is of no use. So there are many valuable lessons that Lord Ganesha teaches us subtly and solidly. So when we sing this line, Mangala Charana Gajanana, let us bow down to the auspicious lotus feet of Lord Ganesha, who is ever sacred, eternally auspicious, and we invoke his blessings to remove all the obstacles, spiritual, worldly, any obstacle from our lives. Let's now move on to the second line.
Gajavadana Shubhanana.
Here the first word is Gajavadana, coming from Gaja meaning elephant and Vadana means face. Shubhanana again comes from Shubha meaning auspicious and Anana means face. So in this line, Gajavadana Shubhanana, we again adore the one with the charming face of an elephant who is ever busy in conferring auspiciousness, conferring goodness, conferring grace. Let us move on to the third line.
Mangala Charana Gajanana.
This is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan. And if you think about what this line conveys, Mangala Charana Gajanana, Charana, as we saw earlier, refer to the feet of the Lord. Now, why are the Lord's feet so important? What is the inner significance of worshipping them, the feet? Bhagwan explains, worship of Padukas is not of recent origin. Even during the earlier eras, sages used to worship the Padukas, experience divine bliss and share it with others. By worshipping the feet of the Lord, they achieve the goal of their penance. Therefore, the worship of the feet of the Lord is a part of the spiritual heritage, spiritual message from ancient India to mankind. Bhagwan said that when we invite a person into our home, we cannot request him to bring in only his head. The feet too have to be welcomed with equal solicitude. Therefore, Bhagwan says that the feet are equally important. In fact, the feet of the Lord are the objects of adoration and worship. So in this line, Mangala Charana Gajanana, we reverentially bow down to the supremely auspicious one who teaches us that the true worship of his feet involves serving the neediest sections of society. Let's now move on to the fourth line.
Vidyadayaka Buddhi Pradayaka.
The first word here is Vidya. Swami said during the Ganesh Chaturthi festival of 1997, Vidya truly is awareness of the power that animates every cell in one's being. It is through this awareness that man learns all about the meaning of events in one's life from birth to death. Vidya, in this sense, is a way of life. Everything you do is part of Vidya. It is total awareness of life. It comprehends everything in its totality. It is for this kind of total knowledge that you should pray to Ganesha. The acquisition of degrees does not constitute Vidya. To know up to the last moment how you should give up the ghost is Vidya. The entire life of a man should be regarded as one continuous process of learning. The second word is Dayaka, meaning to bestow. Buddhi refers to spiritual discrimination and Pradayaka again means to confer. There's a beautiful experience of Brother Venkatesh Prasad, an alumnus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. He joined the university in 1987 and graduated 1992 after completing his bachelor's in commerce and master's in business administration. As part of the curriculum, every management student has to submit a project report. The students usually spend 2 to 3 months on this. Venkatesh Prasad also was preparing his project report, which was about an act passed by the Indian government called the MRTP Act, Monopolistic and Restrictive Trade Practices Act. Now, his research was based on the impact that this act had on the performance of many Indian companies. Soon, the day came when he had to submit his report and present himself for a Viva Watch before a learned panel. Normally, Vivas were conducted during the holidays and this would go on for a few days. And during that year's Viva session, not many students had performed well. In fact, the entire batch that he belonged to had not made it up to the mark. And since Brother Venkatesh's name starts with the letter V, he was the last in his class to appear for the Viva session. His morale was not at its very best, especially after seeing the glum countenances of his friends. The additional knowledge that the interviewing panel consisted of very distinguished people added to his discomfiture. And so the Viva day dawned. He was scheduled to go by 9:30 a.m. to the institute. Having got up early, he went for a brisk jog on the ground and returned to the hostel in a positive mood, and he picked up the morning newspaper around 6:30 a.m. and as he casually glanced through the headlines, he saw something that made his heart skip a beat. The very act that he had researched so hard and for so long, and in fact had made as the subject of his project report, had been scrapped by the Commerce Ministry of the Government of India. The ministry was of the opinion that it was detrimental to the country's progress. And for a minute, Venkatesh did not know what to do. All he could do is just think of Swami. Swami, only you can help me now. So he had a hurried shower and quickly changed into whites and rushed to the mandir. Bhagwan those days used to arrive for darshan at about 6 or 6:15 in the morning. However, on that particular day, Bhagwan had not come out for darshan and it was almost 7:15 a.m. So Venkatesh ran all the way to the mandir and sat in the portico, which was almost empty because the students were not there. It was vacation time. Swami came out for darshan and saw him and he asked, "What happened? Why are you here?" And Venkatesh got up and said, "Swami, I have Viva." Bhagwan did not allow him to complete but simply said, "Oh, I will give you Viva. Viva is a popular energy drink." So Swami said, "I will give you Viva. You go and do Viva." And he said, "Take Pad Namaskar." But the fear in Brother Venkatesh was so strong that he started to open his mouth again and was trying to say something, "Swami," but Bhagwan, his voice just adopted a stern tone. He said, "Take Pad Namaskar." So Venkatesh just fell at Bhagwan's feet and Bhagwan ordered go. So Venkatesh got up and he walked away from the portico. Needless to say, while walking back to the hostel, he was all the time thinking about this issue in hand. In his report, he had said that the act was detrimental to Indian companies. And then it struck him, why don't I look at the unforeseen turn of events from a different angle? If the Indian government has really scrapped the act, then my stand and the Indian governments are in agreement. So why should I feel bad about it? In fact, the news of the act being trashed could not have come on a better day for me. This is what occurred to him, and now he was filled with ideas. He ran to the hostel, picked up a copy of his report and other necessary documents, and he headed straight to the venue of the Viva session well ahead of time. And when the panel arrived and they settled themselves, he straightaway put up the conclusion sheet. And some of the members of the panel probably thought that he was acting smart by offering the conclusion first. But he told them point by point how the act was affecting everybody. And as a trump card, he showed the day's newspaper and he said, "The act has been scrapped." For a minute, they did not believe this. And then when the news sank in, they all burst out laughing and said, "Since the act is now scrapped, there is no point in discussing on your project report. However, as we cannot let you go without asking you anything about the project, we will question you to check your understanding of various concepts." And so the 7 learned members asked him questions on various topics, and by Bhagwan's grace, he answered everything to their satisfaction. And when he returned to the hostel, he found his classmates waiting for him. Naturally, they thought that he would have been grilled thoroughly, especially because of the surprising news in the papers. However,
Venkatesh bragged to them about his performance and said, "I am going to get an O grade." He enjoyed the day thoroughly, and during the evening darshan, he sat in the front row in full spirits, and when Bhagwan came out, he went up to him, looked at him sternly and said, "Kya re namam de diya," which means, "Hey, you have tricked me." And Bhagwan said this, "Namam de diya," enacting the way the namam mark is applied on one's head. In South India, especially in the states of Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu, when you say namam, it jocularly means that you have outwitted someone. And when Bhagwan made this statement and walked away, Venkatesh was devastated. He felt that in the morning, Bhagwan had given him the blessing to do well, but at the evening, when he wanted to share the good news and offer his gratitude, Bhagwan was ridiculing him. In fact, Swami refused to look at him the entire evening. So this made him introspect, and only after a whole day of thinking did Venkatesh realize his mistake. Bhagwan had given him the wisdom to perform well, but when he returned from the interview, he bragged to his classmates about his prowess and about his intelligence and took the entire credit for it, and he did not attribute it to Swami's grace. Venkatesh says that it was indeed a great lesson in humility which he has not forgotten to this day. The Lord continues to guide us, continues to give us the right thinking, buddhi pradayaka. He does that all the time, but many times we do not even realize. And that is the reason why Swami said, "You have tricked me. You did not acknowledge, you forgot me. When you got that beautiful thought you were the doer." So in this line, Vidya Dayaka, Buddhi Pradayaka, we bow down to the Lord who teaches us to be humble and grateful for the wisdom that He confers upon us. Let's now move on to the last line.
Gauri Tanaya Gajanana.
Here Gauri refers to Mother Parvati, the consort of Lord Shiva and the divine mother of Lord Ganesha. And this name means she who is shining and brilliant with a fair complexion. Lord Ganesha is the son of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, and there is an interesting legend regarding his birth. Once Mother Parvati was preparing to have a bath and she wanted someone to stand as a guard. Nandi, the divine bull, was always with Lord Shiva, and she felt that she had no one loyal to her. So she took a little turmeric paste that she had applied on her body, and using it she created the image of a boy and breathed life into it. Well, her loyal son did guard her sincerely, but so sincere was he that even when Lord Shiva wanted to enter inside, he did not allow him. A battle followed between Lord Shiva and the son, resulting in Lord Shiva beheading his own son. When Mother Parvati saw this, she was inconsolable, and so Lord Brahma, the creator, suggested that Lord Shiva should replace the boy's head with the head of the first living being that he came across, which lay with its head facing north and was about to die. Lord Shiva then sent his disciples to find such a head, and they found a dying elephant sleeping in this manner. After its death, they took its head and attached it to the boy's body and brought him back to life. Lord Shiva made him the leader of all the celestial armies or the Ganas and gave him the name Ganesha. So that is the story of how Ganesha got the face of an elephant, but there is a deep inner meaning in this story. It drives home the point that when we are totally loyal to our mother, we automatically gain her blessings and we become invincible. Bhagwan often spoke of the five mothers for a person, namely the physical mother or Deha Mata, the cow that gives us sustaining milk or Gomata, the land that grows the crops and feeds us, Mother Earth, Bhumata, the holy motherland in which we are born, Desha Mata. Finally, the heritage of spiritual treasure that reveals the purpose of human life and takes us towards the goal of self-realization, Veda Mata. Bhagwan always exhorts everyone to respect all the five mothers. So when we think of Mother Gauri and her beloved son Ganesha, let us remember our own physical mothers and the other four mothers too, and pay our obeisance to them. Let us strive to respect and revere them in our lives. So in this line, we hail the elephant-faced son of Mother Gauri, who through his own example teaches us to revere our physical mothers and all the other four mothers. So with that, dear listeners, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And with this deep understanding, let's now proceed listening to the complete version of this bhajan. You will now hear this bhajan sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir.
Mangala charana gajanana. Mangala charana gajanana. Gajanana Shubhanana.
Before we conclude this program, here is a short excerpt of a conversation that I had with Brother Balaram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University, who did his bachelor's in commerce and his master's in business administration and graduated from Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning in 1999 and was blessed to be a singer in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan during all the 5 years when he was a student at his lotus feet.
And I feel in the last 7-8 years of Bhagwan's earthly sojourn, when Swami said boys should start singing in pairs, I felt that was another occasion where Swami was telling, you know, ultimately there is no one lead singer. It's not about your musical prowess, you know. When you sing together with two persons, you have to adjust. And you are all the time, it's a mini group singing, basically.
Exactly.
So there is no lead singer. It's like a small group is singing, another group is following.
Exactly. A small group is singing. And yes, and I think for very practical reasons.
Yes.
Because it might be that this bhajan which is being sung, the tune and the lyrics are new. Now, if somebody were to sing, it would become easier for the others to, even if they don't know the song. Because even a lot of other systems, you have to know the songs. Now, how many songs can you memorize?
Correct.
So, but then if you're used to singing bhajans, it's quite possible that somebody sings an entirely new bhajan. You still will be able to participate in the bhajan. I think for that practical reason, you have a lead singer.
Yeah.
And you have others singing.
So I think the whole concept has always been community singing.
Exactly.
And in every sense.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you, it just strikes me now, as we were speaking, the image of Swami, every bhajan that Swami sings, Prema Uditamar Sekaho, for instance, he would always end with what? Rama, Rama, Rama. Yes. And he would then signal for the entire audience to be sung. Now, if this path was only for a select few, and definitely those thousands crowded in the cycle on the hall and the many were watching, may not be people who can sing one line in tune. But then if he's asking the entire group to sing,
yeah,
I mean, what is a greater indication about this being a universal path?
Yes.
I'm saying if Swami did that, I think that was a clear signal.
Yeah. And as you were sharing how Swami very emphatically mentioned in the hostel that if you have bhava, everything else will fall into place. Sometimes when I listen to all these beautiful compositions of these poet saints like Tyagaraja, you know, Mirabai, I feel that, you know, all their expressions, all their songs, they were just expressions of bhava. I don't think Tyagaraja thought, okay, I will compose this in this raga, or, you know, I'll put it into this beat. I think he just sang, because he was just sitting in front of Lord Rama's altar and he was just singing. And, you know, the others were left to wonder at the composition that came, and, you know, then you have for generations research going on, and they're trying to find out the musicology, etc., etc. But I don't think Tyagaraja ever applied a thought
to that. I agree with you. In fact,
he never even wondered, okay, I have composed one. Please note down, this is my 50th composition, this is my 60th composition. I don't think he bothered. He was just
No, absolutely. In fact, whatever little I've read of Tyagaraja, I understand that he never sat and composed a song.
Okay.
There were different situations in his life where he would just burst into a song, and I understand that there were actually two or three of his disciples, and each one took upon himself the responsibility of noting down and memorizing a particular portion of the stanza. So if you look at Carnatic music, the South Indian Carnatic music, they talk about the first stanza is called the Pallavi, then you have the Anupallavi, and you have the Charanam. Certain songs could have more than one Charanam, as they call it. Now, one disciple would memorize the Pallavi, the other would memorize the Anupallavi, and one would memorize the Charanam. And that is the reason why posterity still has these songs, but he never sat and wrote down these songs. So it wasn't, like you said, in hindsight, yes, it would have turned out to be this raga, this thala, and people did a lot of research on it as to why this raga was used. I mean, Tyagaraja is one character who inspires me, and somehow it came into the conversation today.
So that was an excerpt of a conversation with Brother Mal Ramchandran, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who even now sings regularly in Sundaram, Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, as well as in Prashanthi Nilayam, whenever he's here in the ashram. And that brings us to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please feel free to share your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Abhishek and Sunil, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. Thank you so much. We offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 4th September 2014 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.